online. Well, the Bible reading this morning was Exodus chapter 3. If we could please open there again and look at Moses for a few moments. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 6. Also leading on from Exodus is a verse in Hebrews, chapter 12. Let's ask God's help. Lord, I come to you this morning. Father, I need you. I need you, Lord God, to speak and that your word may become real to me and to the hearers. I thank you that your word is a living word, for you are the living God. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that the words that are spoken today might be from you, that the man may disappear, that your words might be living and real to all of us today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in Exodus chapter 3, we read these words. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and yet the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Also, in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, the last verse, actually, verse 29, says, For our God is a consuming fire. Now, this chapter deals, Hebrews chapter 12, deals with the first covenant that was made and the new covenant. And you look at God, who is a consuming fire, and you wonder, why was the bush not consumed, yet it burnt with fire? This puzzled me. There's a bush. Moses turns aside to see this great sight. We can picture it. Going through the wilderness. And there he tends to his flock, the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. And suddenly he sees a flame. As he turns aside to look, he sees out of the midst of the bush a flame of fire. And as he turns to look upon it, the Lord calls to him out of the midst of the bush. When you think of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in a newborn Christian's life, you can liken it to a burning bush. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells a believer, and suddenly all that is within is burnt up, and yet the man is not consumed. I think, how can a holy God come into a mortal vessel? How can Jesus Christ and his precious Holy Spirit come in, and yet I'm not burnt up? The Bible also says that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You know, Moses was, according to Numbers chapter 12, the meekest man on the face of the earth. That's found in the book of Numbers 12 and verse 3. He was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. You know, he was a scholar. He was second only to Pharaoh in the land. He was a wise man, and yet here he is, humbled, but happy, feeding the flock. And as he walks, God speaks to this man, this meek man. And you know, I want to look at those three themes today. Holiness, humility, and also How that God, the consuming fire, can indwell a believer, and yet this man, this outer man, is not burnt up. You know, when we look at the power of the new covenant, the power of the blood of the Lord, the power that he shed his blood, he gave his body for, and we see the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit, you can liken it to a fire that is within, a fire that's within man, burning up all iniquity, burning up all dross, and leaving the sweetness and the aroma of Christ in a believer's heart and a believer's life. As Moses turns aside to see this great sight, God calls to him. And then he says to him, "Draw not nigh, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." You know, when someone is saved, they are filled with God's Holy Spirit. And the mark of being filled with God's Holy Spirit is holiness. Now, it may start off in baby steps, but the mark of perseverance, the mark of a Christian life, is holiness. For in chapter 12, we see in Hebrews that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Moses saw the Lord, but he could not see him any closer, for he was afraid when he heard the voice. Now, God, in his perfect plan of redemption, has sealed the believer with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder this morning, does the burning bush speak to you? Does the burning bush speak to me? When I come into my prayer time with the Lord, does the Word of God become real in my life? Do I see sins that I've committed? Sins as a Christian? Does that word that we sung, that hymn, the Isaac Watts hymn, "He died for such a worm as I," does that become real to you? Have you ever felt like a worm? Have you ever felt so low because you can still sin as a Christian? And you know, that's the work of God's Holy Spirit in you. That's a sign that there's a burning bush inside your heart. That's a sign that you're saved and you're sealed and that God will keep you to the end. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. That the work that he started in you, he will finish and he will bring to the end. And you know, so many people today claim at least to be saved. And we have a majority of even the population stipulating that they're Christian. They ascribe to Christianity. But I wonder how many are filled. How many are filled today with a fire? A fire. A fire that lives inside and cannot be put out. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's classic, there is a scene there where there is a wall and this wall is on fire. And as he looks in his dream, there is a man in a rage throwing buckets of water at this fire and the fire cannot be put out. And in a rage, he throws more water, but the fire and the flame only increases and gets brighter and greater. And he asks, "What does this mean?" And there behind the wall, he is shown Jesus Christ pouring oil onto the fire. The work of God's Holy Spirit, that he pours oil onto the fire, though Satan, who's in a rage with his water, is trying to put out the fire. The mark of a born-again Christian is that he will never succeed and the Christian will persevere to the end and the flame will only go brighter. I'm a young man, but when I reach my end, I want to be more on fire for the Lord than I am today. I want to be more zealous for Christ and for holiness than I was when I first began. And I know that he is able to accomplish that in me. And you know, that oil of Christ is his grace. His Holy Spirit. It's only grace. It's only the work of his marvelous grace that he keeps the flame alive. That you desire Christ. That you desire Christ. And you long for Jesus. And you love this word. And you love fellowship with the saints. And you love to pray. And it becomes natural to you. Because it's not a put on. Because you don't practice religion any longer. But you have a real flame in your heart, a desire and a love for Jesus Christ. Now Moses here we see, you know, he sees God face to face and he's afraid. You know, it's said of Moses that he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And if you remember of Moses, his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam was rebuked. For they said, does God not speak to us also? You know, Moses was a very special man. And there are men in the Bible, many upon many, who were very, very special to God. And God revealed himself to these men as a sign, as a testimony to us. But all of those men are only forerunners for the man. The man, the Lord Jesus. The man who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, died a horrific death in my place. And now he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who will believe and to trust in him. And so looking at him only as a forerunner, I don't exalt him as a God. Moses was just a man. Moses had failings. Moses sinned. He did sin. When I was young, I used to think some of these men never sinned. They couldn't have. The psalmist David, he couldn't have sinned. Yet all these men saw God. Isaiah saw God. Let's have a quick look at that, if we could please. Look at the equivalence of Moses seeing God and Isaiah seeing God. When Isaiah saw God in chapter 6 of Isaiah, this is what he says. Let's read from verse 1. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I wonder if that's our experience this morning as the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. That we see God face to face on an ongoing, regular basis. As a friend. Jesus Christ has not lost the attributes of God from the Old to the New Testament. He is still holy. He is still a flame. He is still untouchable in the sense that this God, you cannot approach unto God. You cannot see God face to face and live. He burns brighter 7 times than the sun. Yet this same God has chosen to dwell in me. Woe is me. I'm undone. I wonder if we consider that for a moment. Consider that a Holy Ghost can dwell in the midst of an unclean people. You know, when I became saved, I thought I'd never sin again. I thought that it's like crucifying Christ over again. But as I've gone on in my Christian walk, I've seen that it is possible for a saved man to sin. And I wrong God on a regular basis. And I fall short of the mark. And the work of his Holy Spirit is this, that I don't take that lightly. That I don't take it lightly. We can become so accustomed to it and we say, you know, we just make it a light thing. Well, I'm only human. That's not the attitude. That's not Christianity. That's not God. God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. And he said, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. What is this holiness? You know, Pastor Wayne spoke a few weeks ago on standards and on those flags. It really struck out to me. He spoke of it as being on the beach, and there are the two flags with the lifesaver sitting there behind the flag, and you're supposed to swim in the flag, between the flags. And if there's an undercurrent or a rip, you know, people sort of sway and go off to the side. And you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been in that situation. But yet, he gave the example of men and women being together, and without looking at the flags, they look to one another and they drift. And as a group, they drift. You know, we can look to one another and standards of holiness, standards of how your family lives, what you do and don't have in your home. But I want to tell you, that's not the answer. The answer is not to go to one another. Whilst God can use us as examples one to another, and he does, our mark and our standard is Christ. Christ the Lord. And that holiness and humility he displayed on the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood for us. When the lamb that was slain bled there for you and for me. How can we sin against such great a sacrifice? That's what Christianity is all about. How can I sin against such great a sacrifice? Because that's my emblem. They're my two marks. They're my two guiding posts. Those flags in the sand. The cross of Christ. Him crucified. And the deeper I go into Christian walk, the more I see of Christ, the more I see of this flame of fire, the more I'll say, as Isaiah said, woe is me. You know, sometimes I do things and I might feel a bit of regret, a bit of remorse, but then the day goes on. But then you come to prayer and you come face to face with a flaming bush, and those things aren't so small in your sight anymore. Those things aren't so small in your sight anymore. Why do I say all these things? Brethren, this is critical. This is critical to the life of a Christian. For Christian growth. For Christian fruit. When people taste your life, what do they experience? Bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, arrogancy. Christ wishes these things were not so. He wants to taste the good fruits. He wants people to taste the good fruits in you. The fruits of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit can only come in fruition when that stream of water, the stream of life is flowing through you. But it will take us, me and you, coming to that flaming bush on a regular basis. You know, Moses was afraid and he hid himself from God. You know, we, in human nature, in the flesh, we want to hide. When we've wronged God, look at Adam. He hid himself away from God. When he sinned in the garden, God went looking, not with a stick waiting to beat him down, but God said, where is my child? I want to have fellowship with my creation. That was God's attitude. I want to have fellowship with Adam, have you sinned against me? You know, God doesn't tower over us with a stick, waiting to beat us because we've sinned. But he looks at you with the eyes of a lamb. How can you sin against a lamb? We spent a bit of time in Adelaide, and I haven't seen much farm life around here, living in the mountains. But there's a lot of farm in Adelaide where we were. And I saw, in particular, this one lamb that was sort of leaping toward me. And as I went, we were there with the children. As I went to touch this lamb, it jerked away. You know, Christ, the lamb, was so humble that there on the cross for you, where he was insulted and ridiculed and beaten, he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53. He opened not his mouth. As a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent. There Christ suffered and died. And I wonder, Moses was such a meek man, God chose to reveal himself to Moses. And Isaiah saw himself as nothing when he saw Christ. God chose to reveal himself to Isaiah. You know, when the dedication was made of the temple in Chronicles, that smoke that filled the temple was so great. The terror of the Lord fell on them and they all fell on their face. When God reveals himself to you, you know, there might be joy, there might be clapping, you might raise your hands, but oftentimes he'll really put you down on your knees. He'll put you down on your face. And when you get up off your face, you'll be a different creature. Because that is the promise of Christ. He will transform us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, if we could please turn there, there's a passage that has blessed me over time. You know, Moses came down off that mount and his face was shining. His face was shining. But we all, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, this again, this chapter deals with the equivalence of the old and the new covenants. And it deals with that which was in Moses and that which we have now in Christ. You know, the covenant in Christ that which we're about to partake of this morning is more powerful than the first. And if that mountain that couldn't be touched, that even if a beast touched that mountain, the mountain of God, it was struck dead. If that was in the old, how much more in the new? How can I take sin lightly? How can I, such a worm as I, not get down before God and confess my sin and turn from it and live in that new covenant, in that relationship with Christ? Because it is a relationship. It is. He's called us friends. And he doesn't call us into his presence to consume us with fire, to kill us. But he has made a way. He's made a way, the mediator, Lord Jesus Christ. And so in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we see that with an open face, we can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. This is talking about that new covenant, that new relationship we have with God through Christ. That we can see him face to face. You know, Moses couldn't approach that flame of fire. And in fact, he said, God said to him, take off your shoes. The ground which you stand upon is holy ground. And now, in the new, Christ bids us come. He says, come to me. Come. Let us not fear him in this sense, but let us fear God in the sense of reverence. For our God is a consuming fire. And the word there in verse 18 says, we will be changed. We will be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, think of that picture of the Holy Spirit as a flame of fire and Christ pouring his oil, the grace of God, onto that flame that it doesn't dim out. The fruit in your life, the fruit will be good. Well, there are a few examples, and I want to also look at some passages, some references, which now play them out in a very literal sense, in a very real way. In Romans chapter 6, there are a few verses which stand out, which deal with the fruit of that relationship with that God, that all-consuming fire. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, in the second part of that verse, it says, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holies, holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things whereof now you are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wonderful verses. And we look in verse 19 and 22 and it talks about holiness. Servants to righteousness, to holiness. In the past, you yielded your members, you yielded your body, your whole life to this world. It was in Satan's control before you were saved. And now, the same way that you yielded it to iniquity, yield it to Christ, to righteousness, to holiness. Those things that Pastor Wayne has been going through in the series, that fold out that he's handed out to us. Pay attention to those verses. Those verses that deal with the sins and those verses that deal with the righteous acts, the acts of holiness. Those are the fruits of a life hidden in Christ. What fruit did you have in the things that you are now ashamed of? What fruit did you have in loving the world and its pleasures? You know, Moses had the world at his fingertips. Before he saw that burning bush, he had the world at his fingertips. Yet he chose rather to suffer affliction with his people than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what's written of Moses. And our life, my life, can end today. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, but my life is as a blade of grass and as a candle that can be snuffed out. And I wonder, what am I going to do today or this week? Am I going to yield myself to my past and my past sins? God forbid. Am I going to waste my time in the world and its cares and its pleasures and its distractions? Or am I going to yield my body, my time, my energy, my effort, my adoration, my love? Am I going to give it to Jesus Christ and then find that all other things are just taken care of? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be given unto you. Don't bind yourself in this world. Don't love this world and its pleasures. Moses chose to suffer affliction with his people rather than have the pleasure of this life for a season. And he was content. A scholar, a doctor, a king to dwell in the wilderness, tending to the flock. And God spoke to that man. I pray God would speak to us today. I pray not by my preaching, but by your quiet time with the Lord, that he, the Holy Ghost, would speak to your heart, make himself real to you. You know, we want to see outward signs and wonders because that's how the flesh is. But the important signs and wonders are the ones that occur in the innermost. They occur in the innermost part of your being. Signs and wonders which can't be described, that dross and filth and wretchedness is turned into fruit of righteousness. How can it be? How can that be? That's the work of God's Holy Spirit, that we are beholding him and looking in his face, changed from image and image and glory to glory. That's the work of God's refining fire. To get very practical, I want to ask myself this question today. When I go out from this place today, am I going to set my hand to things that matter for eternity or things that matter for this temporary existence? Am I going to do things which last for eternity? Fruit, the fruit of righteousness. Souls, souls, souls of the damned, of the lost. Will I go after them? Will I long that Jesus Christ fill them with his Spirit? Or will I see how I can pass the time in pleasure? You know, God's word challenges us. A fire is challenging. No one likes a flame of fire. No one likes it. No one likes the surgeon's scalpel. But we need it. We need the surgeon's scalpel. We need the refining fire. And when we come to him, just as we are, humble, meek, he will do a work in us. I pray that our hearts will be prepared for the coming of Pastor Chauvin and that ministry. I pray our hearts could be kindled even now, that God's refining fire would begin a work in you through the hearing, as you hear the word of God, as you look into it, that it begin a work in you, that the fruit that you bring out are fruits unto holiness. I want to make this clear. Moses was not some righteous man that never sinned. He was a meek man. He obeyed God. But look at what God can do with a man, with a woman, with a child. If someone gives themselves over to God, give yourself over to God today. If you've never been saved, if you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, if you wonder why your affections are to earthly things, if you wonder why your time is devoted more to this world than to things eternal, think upon this message. Think upon the Word of God, the words of God. Look at the fruit of your life. Look at the fruit. What comes out? Is it a bad tree or is it a good tree? I want to challenge you with this morning. If you're saved, there is a good tree, you'll bear good fruit. But if you're not, and you wonder why the fruits are bad, perhaps it is that you haven't yet been saved, truly born again. Born again of the Spirit of God. But if you have, you will know and recognize this flaming bush. You will know God in his holiness. You will see God as a righteous and holy and just God, a loving God who doesn't consume your body, yet he dwells within you and hasn't punished you to death, has not killed this body, but has let you live. The bush was on fire, yet it's not consumed. God can come and dwell in you. He can come and dwell in you this morning. This God that I'm talking about, this living, holy God, can dwell in mere human flesh, filling you. If that's not been your experience, that you haven't been filled, come to Christ today. And if you've been filled, if you know what I'm talking about, if the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, give yourself more fully to him. Don't hold back anything in your life from giving. Don't hold it back. People are perishing. The world is dying. Look at your clock. Look at your schedule this week. Look at it. In all that you do, in all that you do, do it as unto Christ. Do it as unto Christ. Whether you work, whether you're a mother. But earnest, look for souls, friends. Look for souls, because that fire, if we know the reality of it, you will not be able to stop your mouth from preaching this gospel. It will burst forth from you. It will come out of you. It will be a natural occurrence. You know, Peter, I was thinking upon this Easter message at this time, how Peter denied Jesus. You know, when the rooster crowed, and there in agony he mourned over his sin, denying Christ. And you know, I think, when did he get the boldness? When the Holy Spirit filled him. He was bold. He preached in the temple. And men took note and said, he's been with Jesus. I pray that people would know that we have been with Jesus, that we have met with a burning bush, that the burning bush is inside us, a flame of fire, the Holy Spirit. I pray as we come to this table, the Lord's table, and I'll hand to Pastor Wayne in just a moment. I pray that we could search ourselves as the Bible says. Jesus wants to partake with you this morning. He wants nothing more than to come and to commune and to sup with you. You know, he said, with earnest desire, I've wanted to partake before I go. Before he went to that cross, there was an earnest desire until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And it was fulfilled. The Passover lamb, he shed his blood for you. I pray that we would come with a heart, a humble heart, yet a heart that's filled with faith. You know, Isaiah and Moses and those men who saw God face to face, they didn't shrink back. They said, woe is me, but they didn't shrink back. And Christ wants nothing more than to come and to sup with you this morning and to eat with you. And friends, in closing, we need an infilling of the Holy Spirit as never before in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, there are extremities today. There's extremities of license and legalism. Legalisms are those rules set by man, not by God. They're outside his word. License is, well, I'm under the blood. I've been filled. I can do as I please. None of those are right. We need the true fire. We need the true infilling of God's Holy Spirit, that we might produce good fruit for Christ, for his glory. Shall we pray? Lord, I just come to you this morning. I just pray, Father, that you would rekindle my heart afresh, that I would see this burning bush, that I would see, Lord, your cross, the cross of Calvary, that I would see that lamb that lays there for me, the lamb that was slain. Lord, search my heart and try me today. Find any way that is within me that is wicked and purge it, Lord. I pray that, Father, for your glory. I pray that you would help us as a people, Lord, to see you more and more each day, to come to you, to serve you acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for you are a consuming fire. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you haven't consumed me. Though I've sinned against you, Lord, you didn't consume me. But you shed your love and your grace upon me. And now I can truly appreciate it. I can appreciate that grace and that love. Because I know what I've been saved from. I know what is in me and what I'm capable of. But I thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit, that though the waters and Satan would quench that fire, it can never go out. If you have started that work in me, Lord, you will bring it to end. And I pray, Lord, you would help your people this morning and help your church, Lord, experience you face to face in a real way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.